Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi there.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about why you really need to stay on course or stay the course with no distractions. It's harder than it sounds. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. I love how this is worded. Brian has a head scratcher on his hands. I'm not sure if that was in...
Thank you, producer.
In success plan or the producer edited that, but I thought that was good.
Producer Audrey.
Producer did. She said, a widower wants to sell me her property. It's a nice deal. Husband is on the title, but this is California. And they were husband and wife as joint tenants. However, original title has as the property equally divided between them as man and wife and another single man. So where'd that third guy come from?
Yeah. There's the deed that you're staring at, which is because you want to do the deal, right?
Right.
That's called the vesting deed. Whatever that document says is what you deal with. Mm-hmm. You do not deal with anything before that. So if you're going to buy a car and you could buy it from John Smith, whoever owned that car in the long chain of title, if it's an old car, it doesn't matter. All you care about is John Smith. So it sounds to me like the husband and the dead husband and the woman own the property as joint tenants, which really means the woman owns 100% of the property and she can convey it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the guy's dead. That's why you do it in joint tenants. In case somebody dies, the other person gets all the power.
Mm-hmm.
The other person gets equitable title, to be technical about it. So let's forget about
what happened way back when.
Whether they're single or it's not 1958.
Right. I mean,
people don't take title as man and wife any longer.
Exactly. And another thing. So you're talking about, you're assuming that Brian's going back a little too far and worrying about what happened three transactions ago?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay.
So here's the thing about these deeding questions. They almost can all be answered with this answer. Look at the vesting deed, right? And copy it.
Mm-hmm.
And copy it to the deed that you're producing. Or make sure the title, when you check the title agent's work, that they're copying it. Mm-hmm. There's no changes. Don't make this complicated. It's always, if you have a question, call the recorder.
The county, right.
And if they can't answer it, ask them for the name of an attorney.
Well,
they all can be answered like that.
Let me explain one thing, too, about the assessor, what they do, because if this has been recorded and done and it's been in this way for, let's just say 5 years, say more than 5 years, in that time, the assessor has had plenty of time to review this, make sure everything's on the up and up and the right people were involved and the property was properly conveyed and it checked their boxes enough that the tax bills have been going out and no one's come forward. So it's been in the right hands as far as a county is concerned. Because here's what I'm trying to say is once a property is recorded, the recorder's not the one right there and then that's going to say, oh, no, we missed somebody or you left somebody out or he's not the right guy. It's going to get to the assessor.
Yeah,
and they're the ones that will kick it back.
I hear new people make mm-hmm. this mistake all the time. The people that work at the county are not like the police inspectors. They're not the property police.
Right.
Quite frankly, they don't care.
Right. Especially at the front line.
They don't, if they find an error, all it does is create work for them. So they don't go looking for this stuff.
Right.
So you have to be personally responsible for and held accountable for how mm-hmm. you do this. If you have questions at all, get a title agent. That's what they do.
That's true too.
You should be a deal maker, by the way, Brian. You shouldn't be worried about this stuff.
Exactly. But yeah, I wanted to just convey that.
I sound a little frustrated. It's because of these questions. Yeah. This show and land investors in general, we should be talking about how to make more money than we already do.
Okay.
We shouldn't be really talking about deed stuff. And, you know, you can get a really good title agent almost anywhere for $200 or $300.
You know what, Jack, I got to tell you this, what you just said, and this whole question ties kind of into my topic today.
Oh, good.
So if you want to pause and go there.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Jill's topic today is stay on course, no distractions. This is the meat of the show, and I love this topic. Please do not take this lightly. It is serious business, I think.
Okay. So here's where this topic came from. Let me give you a little backstory. I was flying to Dallas, and it's kind of fun. I figured out I could get on, was it a 777 or 787? I can't remember which one it was. Oh,
this is a big, long story.
This is a good story. So I'm flying to Dallas. I decided to fly first. Let's just...
What are you talking about? You fly first class single time.
So I'm flying first. But I figured out between LA and Dallas, I found the big... It's an international flight. It's a plane where I'm sitting in first on a plane that's going to go Dallas to like London or something. So of course, you better believe I'm picking that plane. So I'm sitting in first and boy, those seats are nice.
So it's a big, huge plane, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, it's a full recline. I'm only going to LA to Dallas, but I get the full recline, the whole nine yards. It's warm. They still do warm nuts, by the way. Whole thing.
I think you called it. You texted me and said, "I'm in my pod."
I love it.
Can you like lay flat?
Oh, you can totally lay flat. Uh huh. Oh, it's awesome.
Do you have a video? You can watch movies and stuff.
Oh my! It's the whole thing. Oh yeah. It's
like science fiction. It's like Alien.
I brought Jack back a pair of slippers,
which I still use.
Yeah, from the plane. Okay. So anyway, so I'm watching a document. I'm like, okay, thumbing through. What do I want to watch? And I pick out this documentary on Warren Buffett. I'm like, oh, this is really good. So. I don't know if it was on HBO or wherever, but anyway, I was on the plane, so I'm watching this Warren Buffett documentary, and it was really interesting about his whole life and how he met Bill Gates, and it was Warren Buffett's father who actually put them together, you know, years and years and years ago, and kind of fostered this friendship. I don't remember why, other than they're both, you know, had a lot of money. And anyway, it was like a backyard barbecue where he really put these two guys together. It was very interesting. And they first met and they formed this fantastic friendship, obviously. And they went on to, be good friends for many years. Well, what was interesting is some point in the relationship, Warren Buffett's dad sat them both down and asked them in one word to describe what it was that they can attribute to their success.
Their enormous success.
Right.
Bill Gates is the most wealthy person in the world.
Like they're one and two. And they both said the same word at the same time, and it was focus. And I went, okay, I'm like writing this down. I'm like, it gave me some goosebumps. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, that was it. Focus. So I took that and I came up with this stay the course, no distractions, which is focus. And that's Jack and I were talking last night about where we are right now and where we were 2 years ago and why are we here and what we're doing and how everyone so involved and so successful. Because you know what? We sat down together. We wrote down our focus. We wrote down our goals and we stayed the course.
Yeah,
we did.
You know
we
did.
Set out to create this environment.
It was painful at times.
It was.
She's talking about Land Academy, not the land investment portion of it.
No, I'm really talking about Land Academy. We set out to say, let's create this environment. Let's share this education. Let's write this program. Let's get this knowledge out there. Let's get this in all these people's hands. Let's see how it works. Let's see how many people we can help. You know, it's all Land Academy.
Let's see if the right people if the right people have the right light bulbs go off over their head.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the people that are exposed to this say, what are you guys talking about? Why would anybody ever buy land and sell it for more? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do something else. But the right people, and you know who you are killing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're making, you know, several hundred thousand dollars a month doing this. So that's why I started Land Academy, because I want to see people succeed like we have.
Well, and don't think that in these last 2 years, as we've been pushing forward and pushing and doing all this, we've had so many different things come our way. Hey, you could spin off and do this. Hey, we could do that. We even get distracted by it. You know, there's a reason why we have not launched yet the boat program or the airplane program or the car program, because we know that it's not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think it's not right there and ready to go. It's just not the right time. We need to stay focused and do a few more things here. To make it be as successful as it needs to be.
The root of all this for us is Offers Academy. It which is another .com that's not being used yet, it's not really real estate. It's about data and submitting offers and getting them in the mail and finding people who are motivated to sell an asset who are in a database somehow. Mm-hmm. So automobiles are in the DMV database, which we have control over. And same thing with boats, Coast Guard, and the FAA with planes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's really what this is all about. It's not about real estate itself. It's about buying undervalued assets.
Well, you know what? So I hear what you're, what Jack's trying to say is it's all one big concept, if you will, and it applies to all these different assets. But you can't come at 12 different things at one time. You got to pick one and then go with that, stay the course, perfect that, and grow it and grow it and grow it.
That's
and
right.
Grow it. Don't get distracted. So for me, too,
and
what
have
I...
deadlines and be organized.
Be accountable.
You know, I know this is a Captain Obvious moment, but have a calendar, even if it's on the refrigerator, about when you're going to send an offer out. Or in a mail offer campaign,
you know,
I should
what?
Say. Or step A is learn how to use data. Step B is whatever it ends up being for you.
You know what, Jack? That's a really good point. Here's one thing that we do in our environment right now. In my office, there's a whiteboard.
Right.
This is like your calendar is perfect. Jack and I still do it. Like we've had to
Jill and I
overhaul
share a calendar on Microsoft 365. I'm in there minute by minute every day.
Well, I have big picture stuff on a whiteboard in my office to remind everybody, okay, this week there's some overhauls going on this website, X website, and that's what we're all focused on. And it helps everybody not get distracted, stay on course.
And my team's 1 month ahead of that.
Uh-huh. He gets it ready, and then we're doing our part.
That's right.
So, and you have to, sometimes...
We are organized, actually, now that I think about it. It feels like we're disorganized. Do you feel like it's disorganized?
Well, because we have to reel ourselves back in. So this is, the reason I want to bring this topic is not only to help everybody, but also tell everybody, you're not alone, trust me, because we get distracted too. It's so easy to go, oh yeah, you know what? I want to spend today working on this, you know, but is that really what you should be spending your time on?
Right.
No. I know it's hard. We have to do it too. And like Jack just said, having a calendar or visual reminders is still not crazy. My dad was the sticky note king. Here's my post-it notes everywhere. And you know what? My brother too, as a matter of fact, my brother got it too. And my dad was the king of it though. And I'll never forget when he passed on, we had to go through his office and, you know, cleaning stuff out, and I could have filled up a pretty large plastic bin with all the sticky notes that I found, and some of them had one word or two words or little things like that. And
like what? Marriage sucks?
No. No, but you know about
Oh, you didn't see the humor in that.
No,
like what? Seriously.
No, but some of them are really, you know what? I'll tell you, some of them are really personal, little things that he was trying to do, maybe physically personal, or and
like
some
exercise
of them,
more.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. Some of them even just said little things like lose weight,
uh-huh.
Or you know, research. XYZ, you know, something like that. But it's not crazy. And you know, it's so, visual reminders are good. However it is, you have to do it.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
To stay on course and not get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say no. People contact, because of the show, people contact us all the time with investment opportunities and all kinds of stuff. I got a proposal recently to buy like a wrecker company. Like if you're parked illegally or something, and you have to get towed, you know, there's a tow truck that comes. That's very profitable. I had no idea. You know what my answer was? It's such a negative business. Why? When my car's been towed a couple times in life, and I want to go murder somebody. Why would I want to be involved in an angry business?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't even need to spend the time to even look at stuff like that. I have no desire to own a company like that.
Right. Well, that's good. And I'm gonna end it with this for me, which is, if you don't stay the course and you do get distracted, you will have 10 half-done projects staring at you, and then you're gonna really A, not be getting anywhere, and B, feel defeated. So you just can't do it. You just can't do it. And I'm just saying too, you don't have to never pursue those things. Put them in order. If you really want to do, if you got, you know, three great business ideas or five or whatever it is, that follow one, great. And then number two is coming up. Okay, now I'm getting ready for number three. It's not that you can't do them. Just be organized about it.
Yeah, number one needs to be up and running and cash flowing and standing on its own legs.
Right.
I mean, I look at this as stay the course, no distractions. You can apply it to anything, but I think of it as owning companies.
Mm-hmm.
And websites, you know, we're releasing probably 20 websites this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're on number four right now, I think. We're mm-hmm. a little bit behind, but man, the four that are running, mm-hmm. they're running. I mean,
exactly.
They're running right.
Exactly. And this is a good place to
and
be.
They're profitable.
You're right. You know, that's a good thing too. A good place to be is have these backup plans. You want that. You want three other things in your back pocket that once this is going, now I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And then talk about diversifying and having income in different areas. It's a good place to be.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You took that seriously.
I was like, did you have to cut me off there? Because I could have kept going.
Well, go ahead. That's what the after show
is
about.
No, I know. It's just...
You really? This is your topic.
Dude, yes, it is.
Have you suffered from lack of focus in the past?
Not...
Do you super appreciate it now?
No, you know... I don't think. Why are you trying to tell me something?
No, I don't know. Usually when people are this into something, it's because they failed at it before and really like saw the light.
No, I don't think so much personally, but in our joined businesses, I see it happening. I see it with our staff. I see it with people that I talk to. I see it in our investor community sometimes, and I have to remind people, is that what you should be doing, spending your time on right now? And they go, oh, you're right.
Every Thursday on our weekly call, which is open to the public, by the way, at 3:00 Arizona time, every single Thursday, somebody's like, well, man, do you think I should do this deal? You have to really ask yourself that kind of question.
Right.
You're either A, brand new, then it's somewhat okay,
right.
Or B, you're just not focused.
That's right.
I know exactly what deal I was going to do.
Wasn't it 2 weeks ago someone said, hey, I'm looking for this and this golf course came my way. I'm like, do you really want to own a golf course? Because we've had that too. And I'm like, I don't want to.
Or marina.
Do I really want to own a golf course? Think about this. What? Now how much more work am I going to have to be doing? There's people involved now. There's employees. I don't want to own a golf course.
Yeah. So, or marina.
Exactly.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.